Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to episode 10 of season 2 of Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, part of the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. It has been a lot of fun going through all of these different stories. This particular one is very special to me because it opened the door to something that I would later hear from a filmmaker, Robert Rodriguez. And he said it on an interview for Howard Stern that the one mistake many indie filmmakers make is that they don't write to their limitations in terms of what they have available to them. For his first film, El Mariachi, the one that was filmed for $7,000, he said that he had a guitar case, a bus, and a turtle. And he knew that all three of those things were going to go into his movie. Couple years later, that's when Kevin Smith heard that interview and just like, well, I have access to a convenience store. And then we got Clerks. The next year, in 1994 to 1995, my freshman year of college at Marymount Manhattan College, I was introduced to a friend, Anthony Gibson, who you have heard here on my main show, Excelsior Journeys, The Road to Creativity. It was a blast reliving a lot of different memories that he and I had during the year that he and I both went to Marymount. Because he wound up leaving after the first year, but we were able to stay in touch all these years later. He introduced me to a little film company that he and his friend started in Rochester, New York, called Tatum Pictures. And what they did was very simple. It was all shot on video. They had access to actors because they all went to a performing arts school over there. And they were able to just kind of brainstorm on all these different stories. He showed me a handful of VHS tapes that he had done. One was their take on, I believe it's either Sega Genesis or a Super Nintendo game called Bionic Commando. They actually made an adaptation based on that. And it was done really well, considering there was no budget at all for these. So it was basically them writing to their budget, which was not much at all. And having fun doing it. They did Ninja Joe, which was really funny. They did Batman versus Jason, which was a blast. And they also did a James Bond movie called Target for Elimination. And you can tell that the B was definitely, and still is, a big James Bond fan because he put in so many different elements of James Bond movies. But at the same time, again, no budget to really work with. It worked. The whole thing worked. And he was able to use some John Barry music. And obviously, because it wasn't going to be going anywhere, wasn't going to be submitted to any film festivals or anything. This was a fun project for he and his friends to do. And sure enough, they did it. It was a great way to get everyone comfortable with either being in front of the camera, behind the camera, whatever the case, and seeing what came of it. When he made the move from high school to college, he had finished films with him and different ideas for other stories along the way. And it was great getting familiar with all of this stuff and also knowing that eventually I was going to want to get in the game as well and see what I can come up with. That was a blast because one of the things that I did with my friend Jay Atkins, we co-wrote a script. Unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere. But you're going to hear that a lot, scripts that were written but didn't go anywhere throughout the rest of this season. But it was our take on A Christmas Carol, the old Charles Dickens story. It was one called Dickens' Nightmare. We just had the Scrooge character be this insufferable asshole. I know they tried to go up one level with Frank Cross in Scrooged with Bill Murray, but it didn't go the level that we went to. We pushed it so far ahead and really just made him such a prick. And it was fun. It was fun to do it. And it was great to take all those Dickens conventions and just kind of tweak them the way that we did. It wound up being very funny. It was a lot of fun to put together. We were laughing as we were writing it. And I still remember there was a moment right near the end when he believes that he changed his ways. And he's calling out to the kid outside his window. And he just yells out, "You boy!" And the boy yells back, "I got a name, pal!" Just like that dynamic back and forth. He tells him to buy the biggest turkey in the land and throws down some money for him to do it. But then he yells back, "Bring me back my change!" When he brings the food over to the Bob Cratchit character's house, and Bob starts, he's delighted that the Scrooge character seems to have changed his ways. But he starts asking about health benefits and things like that. And that winds up completely turning him off to the point where he just winds up leaving with the food and he's right back to being an asshole. So it was a funny script, but we wound up not doing anything with it. But I still wanted to get involved with the stuff with Tatum Pictures. And one of the things I would wind up doing was work behind the scenes on a short film that they did called Different Storms. And that was one that B had written. It was a fun drama with some laughs along the way, but it was really just like really more steeped into romantic drama. And it was a good time. And I even got to hold the camera for one pivotal scene. And I remember taking the camera and moving it around this conversation as it was going, as one of the characters started talking, he just came into frame. So it wound up being a really good shot. And I was happy that I was able to contribute somewhat to that story, to that film. And it wound up getting finished. And it was added into the catalog of Tatum Pictures. And the great thing is Tatum Pictures is still going today, evolving as they go and coming up with different stories and trying all these different fan films and just having fun doing it and even renting out theaters to do some screenings and really making a go of it over in Rochester. I'm really proud of all those guys for not giving up and for continuing to evolve as filmmakers, because they're great exercises. When the time comes for a larger project, you have all this experience to work with, and you have a lot of great actors that you've worked with, and they would likely want to work with you on a bigger project. So kudos to everyone involved in that. I really wanted to get into that. I wanted something that was going to cater to a budget of nothing, but I didn't know what I was going to write. And then during that same semester of my freshman year, I was taking part in what they call directing projects. And that's where a student directs a one-act play and has a small cast that goes through auditions and everything. And they go ahead and assemble them. They work with them. And then they finally present the finished product. And I was able to take part in one of those. I got to play a character named Ronald Neighbors in a one-act play called The Frogal Dictum. It wound up being the first acting gig that I would get in Marymount Manhattan College. And it was a blast doing it. I worked with some terrific people. I worked with Joe Trenacosta, Kate Comer, Megan Sullivan, and Jeff Beal, our director. And he was amazing. He was an amazing director and just kept that pace going. And it was great to be able to do it. And I was really proud of the work that we would eventually have out there. During that time, I got to watch some of the other directing projects. And one of them that really grabbed my attention was one called Marisol. This was written by Jose Rivera, who would go on to write The Basketball Diaries. He presented this story. It's a post-apocalyptic story. The apocalypse is on its way, but it's all centered around this Puerto Rican girl who is being tasked to stop the apocalypse from happening. And you would think this would be like this huge budget kind of story, but here it is being done in a director's project with a handful of actors and no real props. It was done so well and it was very captivating. And that's what really got my attention. Something that big, a grand premise being done in such a small way, that opens up a lot of possibilities. I was thinking about what I was going to do for this, and I eventually came up with the concept called Phoenix Rising, and it was all about this young man who seemed like he was killed, or at least comatose. He was tasked with being the chosen one to stop this rise of demons that were coming up from below the earth, from hell. And there was a whole thing about, you know, trying to bring about the rise of the main leader, who was called Lord Vornakai. The main character's name in this was Kyle Flight. And there was, you know, some different characters in there along the way. It wound up being just this very basic science fiction type of story, about 30 pages or so. But it was a fun time to write that, because for the first time, I felt like I was writing something that I could just go ahead and shoot. Nothing came of it, but it was a story that I kept around for a long period of time. I just felt like there was something there, but I didn't know what it was. And turns out that the characters that were born from this story still live today, only not in the way I originally intended. That was my first time really writing something that I felt was capable of being shot and performed by people at Marymount Manhattan College. It just felt like, okay, if I cast this right, I may be able to actually put together something, and I could grab this piece of music and this piece of music. I was grabbing a lot from Christopher Young's Hellraiser 1 and 2 scores, because they just really seemed to fit for what I was wanting to do with this. And eventually nothing came of it, but it was a great exercise, and it would wind up leading me into my next big assignment, and it wound up leading me into the next step as a writer, which was being tasked with writing a feature-length screenplay. And I'm going to get into that more in the next episode. So I hope you've been enjoying this listen. I hope that for those of you who have stories like this, where you have a whole bunch of smaller projects and nothing's really come of them, I hope that these stories have kind of reminded you that you have some stuff that's worth going back into and maybe even tweaking and updating and seeing what comes of it. Whatever the case, I hope these are helping you, and I hope they're entertaining you. I'm really excited to tell you more about my journey into screenwriting, especially with the next episode. So until then, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to hesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to george@hesgotit.com.